Our scripture for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. Let us listen now for God's word to us this morning. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence, with the glory I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you would, pray with me now. God of wisdom, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. May you open our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear your word for us this morning, that we may be encouraged in our faith. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a confession to make, y'all. I really thought we would be back by now. I really thought we would be back in our own space, in our sanctuary, gathered together, maybe looking a little different, but that we would be back. See, in early March, when the staff met to discuss the ramifications of what this global pandemic might bring to Maryville, Tennessee, we started to throw out expectations of what might happen in the coming weeks. We talked about closing of the building. We talked about working from home. We talked about live streaming worship for a while. And when someone in the room suggested that this may drag on well into the summer, we all nodded, though I'm not sure that we all truly believed it. I know I didn't. Yes, Easter seemed like it was unrealistic with how close it was, but early May? That seemed downright plausible. 6 weeks away seemed like plenty of time for the world to figure this one out. But as you can see, this is not the sanctuary at New Providence, and what you're sitting on right now is probably not a wooden pew. The community that the author of John is writing to is also dealing with a delayed return of sorts. Decades have passed since Jesus' ministry and death and resurrection and ascension, and the expectation of his imminent return seemed more and more foolish with each passing year. As new generations of the church began to emerge, more questions began to enter into their conversations. What do we do as we wait for Jesus to return, being uncertain of when that might be? What does this mean for our relationship with God to be in this position of waiting without a definitive timeline of when to expect a return. It doesn't take much to draw connections to our current calamity and to murmur as our own patience draws thin in our social isolation. As the psalmist laments, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, before we can get back to going out without fear? How long, O Lord, before we can gather and sing and worship in the same physical space again? How long, O Lord, before we value people over profits? How long, O Lord, before justice can be expected by people of color in equal degrees as it is afforded to white people? How long, O Lord?" And so we come into the scriptures this morning with the same feelings of uncertainty, the same feelings of impatience, the same feelings of expectations deferred. We thought we would be back by now, and they thought Jesus would be back by now. So we come to this moment in the text, the end of a conversation between Jesus and his disciples. This conversation occurs between the time that Jesus washed the feet of his disciples and when he goes to pray on the night of his arrest. Though it's not explicitly stated here, I imagine this might just have been the after-dinner conversation that followed the Last Supper. As they talked, Jesus tells them what they can expect in the coming days, how the hour has come for God to be glorified in his death and resurrection. He predicts his ascension back into the full presence of God after his resurrection, and the hardships that his disciples will endure as they remain in the world. He ends that conversation in prayer, asking God to witness to the completion of his ministry, which is the very will of God, by returning Jesus to the full presence of God and the glory of divine wholeness. As Jesus prays, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they believe you sent me." Jesus asks, "Glorify me in your own presence, God, that the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed." It says, though Jesus is preparing his disciples with this prayer for some distance learning. For anyone who has been in a virtual classroom over the last few months, you know how it can be both very similar to what it was before, and at the same time, very, very different. We have to hold the final words of Jesus in Matthew when he says, "I will be with you until the end of the age," while at the same time giving credence to his pronouncement in this prayer that he is no longer in the world. He will be with us, but not in the same way as before. We can find comfort in this prayer for wholeness that Jesus prays, as he shows us exactly how he will still be with us. "For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them." As we receive the word and bear witness to the self-revelation of God made clear through Jesus' transformative love, we draw closer to the Lord and to one another. This is the good news, that in the same way Jesus is reconciled to God in divine wholeness, we too find wholeness and reconciliation with God through Jesus, in whom we have eternal life. Friends, life might feel pretty incomplete right now. The empty spaces in our daily planners and calendars continue to stare us down and remind us of what we have lost. It's easy to think that a return to how things used to be might make us feel whole again. How desperately we gravitate towards timelines and reopening plans, thinking that if we just have an idea about when we get back to life as we knew it, we might begin to shed the doubt that has crept in during our isolation. If we can just answer the question, how long, O Lord, for ourselves, we might feel the closeness of God that Jesus' disciples felt as they walked alongside him while he preached the good news to the poor and released to the captives. Friends, our Lord has a prayer for us this morning. He asks, Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. Friends, the good news is that what we are waiting for is already at hand. As Jesus says, the hour has come. We won't find wholeness in a building or in an economy or in a carefully vetted three-phase reopening plan. We find wholeness in the knowledge that God loves us. We find wholeness when we realize we are bound by Christ to one another, made one through Christ just as Christ is one with God. We find wholeness when we believe and when we act on those beliefs, even if that means distancing ourselves from one another. In Christ, we are whole, even when we are apart. Now, there will be a day. At some point in the future, there will be a day when the things we hope for will become the things we see. There will be a day when the doors of our sanctuary are open on Sunday morning for us to gather and worship together. There will be a day when the Lord comes again in glory, when creation is restored into divine wholeness with its Creator, when every knee will bow and every voice will sing of the glory of the Lord. But in the meantime, let us love as Christ loves. Let us share the good news of the gospel just as it has been shared with us, and proclaim the saving grace of God we know in Jesus. This we can do. There's no need to wait. Amen.